blessed name. Praise God. Wonderful Lord. Oh, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Savior divine. Hallelujah. Heal of us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Thank you.
He's a I'm just thankful to be here today and tonight, and I was just thinking, you know, sometimes you just have to do things that encourage yourself, because when I left work, I had the most throbbing headache, and, you know, sometimes your day just can get to you, and today was one of those days, but I appreciate being able to come to church tonight and worship my Lord, and that was just ministering to me of, you know, I am blessed no matter what I go through. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. Every day that I have, the Lord's given to me, and I have that opportunity to let His light shine through me. And I don't always succeed in everything and being able to do that, but He's given me that opportunity, and I just don't want, you know, very much time to go by without giving the Lord a praise and letting Him know how thankful I am for all His blessings and His goodness to me, and for my family here, and for each one of you that are here, and you each add something into my life, and I just appreciate each one that's here, and what the Lord's doing for each and every one of us. I just wanted to get up and give Him a praise and thank Him for His love and goodness.
Be here tonight, and I'm thankful I got to go to the Alabama meeting this past weekend. It was just amazing. Like, the whole thing was amazing. And that Saturday night service, I think a brother from McCone got up, and it's like spirit came in the church, like a wave. I don't think anybody that was there went out at church without getting blessed. I'm saying, bloody.
Well, I'm really thankful that I'm back home. I haven't been in our church for about 2 weeks because I've been in Louisville and Alabama, but I wasn't going to go to Alabama, but while I was in Louisville, I just kept having the feeling like I needed to go, like something, you know, really good was going to happen to me. So I messaged Sister Painter on Facebook and I said, I think I want to go. And it just all worked out for me to go. And that Friday night when we got there, I think I got a really good touch that I needed, and I've needed it for a long time. And the Spirit, you just can't describe how good it felt in there. And I'm just really thankful to be here. That's all I have to say.
Well, I'm glad I got to go to the meeting. Like they said, it was definitely an amazing meeting. The Spirit was so strong in that building, especially that Saturday night when that brother from Macomb got up. It felt like it was kind of like the second part of Houston. I don't know, because the wave just like came over the building and it was so strong. It's really hard to describe how amazing it felt. It was just awesome. And I'm just really thankful I got to go.
I'm thankful I got to go to Alabama.
Going. We said, we're going to Houston. Her and I said, those guys are going with us, and they're taking us to Houston. So come about December, I told her, let's book our rooms. And so she got a really good deal, and our Sister Painter told us about a room where they were staying. And so she went online, and she booked our rooms, and so it was kind of a sure thing. We were going. Well, when it snowed that week, I was like, oh, man. So that Tuesday, Roy and I tried to get out of our subdivision. You could not get out of our subdivision. It was so slippery, and it's kind of steep coming up into our, up to our houses. And we were, and they're building so many houses in there that, you know, the trucks have all tore it up. So our little car was like bottoming out. And anyway, it was just kind of crazy. And I thought, oh no, we got to go to Houston. And Wednesday, they said that we had to come into work, and I'm going to Houston. So I called and said I was going to be sick. they knew I wasn't, but I called and said, I'm going to take a sick day, and I'm not going to, and I have Thursday and Friday as vacation. I said, so you won't see me till next week. And I wasn't feeling good anyway before Houston, and I told the Lord, I said, you know what, I really wanted, your body wants to stay home, but in my spirit I knew I needed to go. And I told the Lord, I said, I'm going to go to Houston. I don't feel good, but I'm going to go, and I'm not going to complain. I'm going to look like I feel good. You know, I'm just going to go because I know that I'm supposed to go to this meeting. And, you know, on the way there, I could feel the Lord touching me all the way there. And we got to the meeting that first night. That was another thing. I remember going the last time we went to Houston. As soon as we got to Houston, it was like they had the Thursday night meeting, and then so we got there the Friday morning meeting. And I remember talking to Sister Bryant. She said, "Oh, you should have been here last night." So I thought to myself, "I'm not missing one service. I don't want to miss out on anything." And so we got there, and I got to be in service that night. And I was hoping Brother Wright was going to get up, and he didn't. And then he got up the next morning, and it fed my soul. I mean, the whole meeting, I just felt like I was eating at a banquet table, and I was getting rich and good food, you know. It was just so exciting and so encouraging, and I don't think there was a song or everyone that got up, but just there was something to get from it, and you could feel the Lord, so it was so strong there. And I just want to, you know, it made me feel good that, you know, we had it, Reba and I had set it in our mind, we were going to Houston. And so I just appreciate the Lord helping us, and I appreciate what he did for us in Houston, and I'm glad I got to go, and God is so good. He's so faithful. He's so faithful, and I just appreciate him.
Much to say, because I don't really know what to say, but I'm thankful that I got to go to it was Alabama, right? But like everybody else said, the Saturday night service was really, really good. That's all I have to say.
Hey, I'm thankful that I got to go to Alabama. The services were amazing, and the spirit was amazing, and everybody's testimonies were amazing, and I'm glad I got to go there.
I was thankful I got to go to the Alabama meeting. I was sick most of the time while I was there. I got sick, but what I could get while I was still sick was really good from that meeting, and all the good teachings there and everything. And thankful for Brother Nathan, Sister Painter, and Sister Sherry taking care of me and everything. And now I'm feeling better and everything. I'm glad to be back home and thankful to be here today.
I'm thankful to be here tonight, and like that song said, Sister Cindy played, I am blessed, and you just feel the spirit in that song, Sister Cindy, because we are blessed every day, no matter the circumstances, no matter if we're down and out or if we're up, you know, we're blessed, and we're his chosen people, and no matter what we're going through in our natural lives, we can always say we're blessed. And I'm glad that we were able to go to Alabama and take the young people with us. I don't even know what I could add to it because, like they said, it was a very, very good youth meeting. The spirit was very strong in there on that. Well, the whole thing was good, but the Saturday night service... the spirit just came in like a wave, and I looked over at Sister Sherry and I said, "This is what it was in Houston. It was just so thick and so strong in there. You can just tell that God is doing something right now." And we were talking to somebody, and I can't remember. I believe it was Sister Lucas, but I can't remember exactly, but we were talking about how the Lord's moving right now and how strong it is. But usually when these blessings come like this, there's also judgment and you know, getting, you know, getting our lives right, getting our hearts right with the Lord, and she was right. When the Lord blesses you, you know that He's expecting something from you in return to move up in Him. You know, if He's asking something of you, you need to do it, or asking for you to take something out of your life to do that. And I'm just thankful to be a part of what the Lord is doing in this day right now. It's just amazing to watch. I like I said, I really don't know what else I could add to it, but I'm just so thankful, and I feel so unworthy of His love and His mercies. But for whatever reason, He saw something in me, and I want to do my part in whatever it may be, how great or how small. I want to do what He is requiring and asking of me. And I just want everyone here to know that I love each and every one of you, and I feel very blessed and honored to be in this assembly and to be amongst His people in the body of Christ.
She just handed it to me. I'm glad I got to tag along to Springville, Alabama. I was really kind of bummed that I didn't get to go to Houston because I heard such good things about it. And so I was glad that the Spirit moved on Saturday night. But, I mean, even though it was a youth meeting and they had classes for our youth, I got something out of what Brother Gary Wright spoke on Saturday, as well as Brother Finnegan. They both did a good job. And, of course, I went along as a chaperone, but our youth, they were so well-behaved, and they're such an easy group of kids to take care of, and just blessed that I got to go.
Praise God. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. Miss Brother Smith, he had some teeth removed. Three, in fact. So he's he's suffering. Bless his heart. And so we'll have prayer here in a little bit and pray for him and some of the others that aren't here tonight. Thankful. We're happy to be home. It's not often we miss on a Sunday, and the meeting went from Friday night through Sunday. So wanted to stay for the whole meeting, and we're appreciate the help that I had in the media booth. And we miss being here. This is our home. You know, I've probably told you this before, but I've worked in this church longer than I've worked in any church in my life. It wasn't that I was unstable, but it was just, you know, I worked in the church there in Springdale under Brother Roy Merle and Brother Kenneth Merle, until God moved us on to another church under Brother Main there in Lowell. Well, I should say Brother Lane. We actually had a little storefront church in Fayetteville, Arkansas for about a year, and Brother Liniger consolidated the works from Fayetteville and Rogers into one church there in Lowell. And we worked together, as people should, to build the house of the Lord. And so from there, under Brother Langer's leadership, we moved from Lowell to here. And we've been here
13 years, I think. So we're happy. This has become our home. My son, we talk about, you know, when we go home, my two oldest daughters were born in the same hospital that I was born in. And they all cheer, yay, you know, that's awesome. And then when we get to Little Rock, my son, he said, I'm from Little Rock, you know, like, you know, like he's got something over the rest of us that he was born here, you know. There's nothing better than saying I was there. You know, you can't hardly gainsay somebody who says I was there. And so we had the privilege of traveling with our young people and to the Springville, Alabama youth meeting. And it was nice. It was really a wonderful experience. I'm careful in how I say these words because I don't want to bring any contraction or make any type of distinction. But, you know, everybody does things a little bit different, and that's okay. I mean, it is okay. We're working together, and it was nice to be in that setting. Their music is a little different. It's a lot more congregational singing. The band and the congregation pretty much play and sing the whole time. And it's, you know, it's a little different. It takes a little getting used to. But you can still worship the Lord, and we did. Their youth meetings are a little different in that the services were more... The ministry was more involved in the services, if you will. The first night, the ministry was, you know, was there and on the platform, the young men sitting and the sisters, you know, sat out in the congregation. Girls on one row and young men on another row. And, you know, there's good to be gleaned from the environment that we're in, and it's a wonderful service Friday night. And then we could have probably stayed with some folks. We probably could have made, I know that we could have, we had many offers. We had already made hotel reservations. We ended up staying about 20 miles from the church, which if you're familiar with the area, you know, there's not any hotels that are really close. And so we had a 30-minute drive each way, which, you know, for some of us here, that's no big deal, right? You know, I drive 30 minutes at least just to get to church here on a regular basis. So it wasn't that big a deal. We had a nice hotel there in Pell City, Alabama. Northern Alabama is a real pretty part of the country. It's a lot like Arkansas, Northern Arkansas. It's really pretty. And so... every night, we didn't get home till like 1, you know, 12, 1230, the two nights that we were there. And so we were all running on fumes by the time it was over. But that's good. You know, I'm not young as I once was, but I'm not ready to throw in the towel either. So I tried to hang with them. I think, though, I got to say this. I think... and I'm surprised the boys didn't rib me for it, but I think I was the first one to fall asleep on a Friday night. So that tells you my age, I suppose. But Saturday service didn't start till 1 o'clock, which was a little different for us. And you'd think, well, you don't have to start till 1 o'clock, sleep in. No, it doesn't work that way. There's no sleeping in. So we were up and at them and had dinner at church at noon. Just giving you a little background of you know, how things went for us. It was a little different. We had dinner at sandwich at noon and fellowshipped with each other. And then service started at 1 o'clock. And the ministry actually had gathered there at 10 that morning and had a kind of a Bible study. I didn't participate in that. We weren't there. After lunch, then the youth got together, and they had a Bible class. And in this environment there, they were all in one sanctuary. Now, when we have been to the convention center in Louisville, they actually went into classrooms. Guys went into one classroom, girls went into another. And that's the way they did it there. But in Springville, we were all in one the youth were all in one room, the sanctuary. And Brother Finnicum came in, and Brother Gary Wright flew in. Brother Sharber asked Brother Wright to come in and talk to the young people, so they had a Bible class, a couple hours of these ministers addressing their class. And I don't know if anyone asked Brother Phil this, but I remember this distinctively. We had Brother Leniger had Brother Watson and Brother LaFleur teach here in a youth meeting one year, and it was wonderful. It was very well received. And I appreciated it considerably. It was fantastic. And of course, Brother Smith, I think, did that here the year before last. So the Brother Wright and Brother Finnegan taught the young people. At the same time, the rest of the ministers that were there had another Bible class in a conference room. And so I was privileged to sit in on that. And what we talked about in there was being led of the Lord. You know, the Spirit of the Lord isn't just you know, for blessings. It's not just to make us feel good about what we're doing. We're to be unctioned by it. It's God moving upon us. It's like it's His way of imposing or persuading us of His will by that feeling that, you know, is it a voice? Is it? And this was some of the conversation in this Bible study that I was in. Is it a voice? Is it an audible voice? Is it a feeling or an unction? Is it an angel? Is it, you know, an event? You know, how do you know when you're led of the Lord? And, you know, they didn't really draw conclusions, but it was, one conclusion was, is that you have to know for yourself. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue, that's your gift. That's God depositing His Spirit in your life. And that is your gift. I have mine. I received it. I was 14 years old in Joplin, Missouri. I've been seeking the Holy Ghost a couple months. Songs are playing. I think it was that chorus, "All Day Long I've Been with Jesus." They were singing. I went up and I threw my hands in the air and I said, "I need the Holy Ghost." And Brother Billy Pinnock, some of you may recognize that name, he laid his hands on me and I received the Holy Ghost just like that, speaking in an unknown tongue. Lasted a couple minutes, went back to my seat. I received it. I didn't really know I'd received it. It was such... In fact, on the way home, I knew something happened to me, but I didn't know what happened to me. Because I didn't grow up in a Holy Ghost church. I grew up in a Baptist church. I didn't know what had happened to me, but I knew whatever they were talking about, this Holy Ghost that I was supposed to have, I knew I needed it. I knew I wanted it, but I didn't know what I was going to feel like when I got it. But I tell you this, when I did get it, I knew my life had been changed. I knew that there is something inside of me that had been changed. And I can remember riding home in the back seat of little Datsun car, little two-door, and Brother Harry Lane and Brother Frank Bilderback, men you probably wouldn't recognize, but I begin to ask them, what happened to me? You know, when I can tell you this, whenever I received the Lord as my personal Savior, it was such a real experience to me as a young person that I felt something. When I knelt down and when I knelt down and it was a college missionary, if you will. It was a missionary. It was a college student from John the Baptist University, which is in Siloam Springs, and he was visiting town. There were a group of them visiting towns in the summer. And when we knelt down together, I knelt down, he knelt down beside me, and I began to pray that sinner's prayer and ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins and let the Lord know that I wanted to invite him into my heart to be my Savior. I felt something. I felt something in my life changed. There was a dedication, a conviction, a confidence. I experienced something that changed me. Well, I experienced that same thing whenever I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Of course, it was foreign to me. I didn't quite understand. I wasn't, even the church that I was in, Brother Merle's church, wasn't really a lively church, if you will. It wasn't very often. I mean, I think there was probably people there that had been sitting in those pews, and this is probably a little bit different than how Sister Bryant remembers. At one time, it was a real lively church. It was a very... In the 50s, it was a very active and very lively church. But when I was there, it was not. It was very reserved and calm. But whenever I received that Holy Ghost and I heard, I began to say things. It didn't make sense to me. I couldn't understand it. And a feeling come over me and it touched me. It's like it just went through my body like an electrical shock. My God. I knew that something in my life had changed that night. And on the way home, I asked him, I said, what happened to me? Did I receive the Holy Ghost? Of course, we're careful in telling people, yeah, you received the Holy Ghost. You know, that's a decision, that's a conviction that you have to, an experience that you have to know for yourself. And they said, well, Brother Nathan, we heard you speaking in an unknown tongue. I said, that's what I thought. I got it. I knew I got it. I knew something happened. I mentioned this a few weeks back. There is nothing better than having confidence. I don't care what you're doing. Speaking to a crowd, driving a vehicle, cooking a meal, holding a baby. When you have the confidence that you know what you're doing, it's awesome. It makes that experience so much better. It allows you to just enjoy it, just to relax and just enjoy the moment. Gladys and I, we and the kids, we went to Springville, Alabama last summer, and I've told this story before, and we got tickets to Barber Museum, and just like everything just opened up, just like the whole, like we had run of the whole place. And I told her on the way home, I said, I said, we're going to enjoy this. I said, because everything that happened to us today, we didn't plan it. God just opened all those doors for us. I just had that confidence. I knew that God was in control. I just knew that He supplied our needs that day. It was such a wonderful feeling. And so anyway, they talked about being led by the Lord, feeling the Lord, feeling out after the Lord. They talked about a few other things, and it was nice. It was an unusual moment for me. I've been in meetings. Where the crowd, where the ministry was, I'd consider high level ministers, Brother Sharber was there. I'm failing with names right now. I just can't even remember names right now. I beg your pardon. But there was some, you know, well-qualified ministers there. But we weren't dealing with problems. The meetings I've been in the past where I was surrounded by high-powered men, they were dealing with a problem. It wasn't the case in this environment. It was nice. It was a Bible study. It was educational and informative. I liked it. You know, I was able to relax. Rain's coming down. Well, it's dry in here, thank the Lord. So we left that meeting. The young people had their meeting that was over. And I'm not going to mention names here because it's really not profitable per se. But there was a young man here that had, and you brethren will keep me informed if we're having any threatening weather, please. There was a young man here in the body that has found the body, but his parents didn't find the body. Now, these young people here that testify, they're blessed. And they know it. They realize it. They recognize that they've been added to the body of Christ because their parents have found the body of Christ. But I understand that story a little differently because I had to make choice whenever I met this people. I had to separate myself from my family. Well, it was still even difficult at times because I was still living at home. And so this young man was facing that, actually was told he needed to move out. He had went to this meeting and got a message from his parents that it's time for you to move on. Well, that kind of anxiety and sorrow, you know, it just immediately invokes all kinds of negative reaction, feeling, and, you know, anxiety. And so he came into the minister's session with this message. He was upset and asked the brethren to pray for him. Well, he counseled Brother Sharber. His youth leader sent him in there, and he counseled with Brother Sharber privately, and Brother Sharber brought him in, and they prayed for him. Within an hour, so I'm telling you, there's a backstory. Within an hour of that text message from his parents, he received another message from his parents, and they apologized to him for taking such a hard stand against him. And it was such a relief, you could tell. But still, there's always, you know, that once that first blow has been struck, then, you know, it's just like a dog. Once you whoop that dog is still going to withdraw a little bit. And so there's still that reservation. Well, the truth of the matter is, Jesus said, except you love me more. Now, he said, except that, you know, unless you hate your mother and father, that just means love less. He said, unless you love me more than mom and dad, you'll have no part with me. All of y'all are going to have to make choice in your life. Some point in your life, you're going to have to make choice on who is your most important, what is your most important priority. Who do you love the most? Who do you covet, desire, hope, dream about the most? And then, you know, even parents, at some point, parents face that even with their children. Their children may not go, but they must go on. And so, anyway, within an hour, he got a message from his parents, and he was sharing this experience. He was telling about how he found the body of Christ. And while he was up preaching, Brother Daniels, while he was up preaching, and he was recounting how much he loves the body of Christ and what he found, he got to speaking in an unknown tongue. And he raised his hands. and just started worshiping the Lord. He just forgot about everybody out here. He just forgot what was going on around him. And I'm not kidding. It was just like a wave went across that congregation. And everybody that I saw had their hands up, worshiping, speaking in an unknown tongue, and it just went on. It was one of the most powerful moves of the Spirit I think I've ever felt. While a man was preaching. It wasn't a song. It wasn't, you know, contrived. It wasn't rah-rah. You know, it wasn't built up. It's just like the Spirit of God just came in and just filled the house. And it was a wonderful experience. It was absolutely amazing. It's one of the most wonderful things I've felt in a long time. And I've seen it happen here too. I know God does stuff like that to confirm His Word. And of course, we come out of the Houston meeting with that thought of being led by the Lord, being led by the Lord, being led by the Lord, feeling after the Lord, seeking the Lord, searching for the Lord, looking for the Spirit of God in what you're doing. And so it was just a wonderful time. The Spirit of God came in, and then about, 15 minutes or so, it subsided, and I think we had some more preaching. That was Saturday night. Sunday we had song, Spirit of the Lord moved in and blessed especially the saints from the local assembly. It was wonderful. Sister Hannah, it was wonderful to see people worship together. There was people there from Orlando, from all the way from Orlando to Houston to Louisville and Ohio and of course, a bunch of hillbillies from Arkansas. It was wonderful. And there was no division. It was just the saints of God coming together, much like we did tonight. Now, our crowd's not the same, magnitude as what they had. It was the first time that Saturday night service was the first time they had ever filled their building. It was unbelievable. They got to dancing. Y'all recognize this. They got to dancing. And the floor got to moving, right? In their dining room, they've got chandeliers that they've hung from the ceiling. Instead of having ceiling lights, they have chandeliers every so many tiles. The chandeliers were going up and down. The floor was moving so much that the piano player was having to move with the piano because it was moving. It was an experience. It was a wonderful experience. And the thing about it is, and they mentioned this, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that type of service wouldn't have happened. 15 years ago, that type of service wouldn't have happened. Because you would have had some people over here, and they would have said, no, that's not how we worship God. And then you'd have some people over here, and they'd be like, no, that's not how we sing. Then you'd have some people over here, and they'd say, no, that's not how we have youth meetings. And you have some people over here, and say, well, that's not how we don't segregate, from the boys and the girls. We don't separate like that. 4 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. But instead, Brother McGowan, people, they relaxed. They worked together. They didn't bring difference between each other. They just came to get to the house of the Lord to worship and to help build the body of Christ. And that's who we are. That's who this congregation is. That's who this church is here in Little Rock. We're just people. We come together. We come from all walks of life. We come from all points of this city. From the east, the north, the west, the south. And we come into this city to work together. And of course, we have responsibilities for this region, this state. There's churches in Arkansas and around Arkansas that are counting on this church to hold up a banner of love, to always keep the door open, to always make room for God's people, for God's ministry. There's people that are counting on us, and it's a burden. It's our task. It's our responsibility that we carry. Sometimes it's a heavy burden. Sometimes it weighs upon our shoulders. And you know, I could tell the Springville Assembly, they've had a ministers' meeting this year. They had a fellowship meeting a week prior to this youth meeting, and then they had a youth meeting. I heard you say, wow. That's a lot. We've done it here. We had a youth meeting a couple years back, and then we turned right around and had a minister's meeting. Y'all remember that? It was hard. And I know it was a lot for them, but I'll tell you, I really admired them. They outsung me, I'll tell you that for sure. Now, I've been battling my sinus, you know, stuff, but they outsung me, they outdanced me, they outworked me. They were excited. They were happy to be a part of the body of Christ. And I am too. Praise God. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord has brought us to. And look where the Lord has brought us. Brother Sharber mentioned that song again. He's brought us a mighty, mighty long way. Hallelujah. And He's given us a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to follow. Thank the Lord. Let's follow the cloud. What is that old chorus? If I no longer should follow the cloud, what would my destiny be? Well, I can tell you, folks, there's a lot of people that have lost their way. They've lost their destiny, if you will. They've lost their inheritance. Some people even now are losing. Their inheritance is slipping out of their hands. They don't value it. They don't treasure this calling that we've received. Be careful. Be careful that you don't set your affections on things here on the earth. The Bible says to set your affections on things above, where no man can enter in and steal. Do you know a man can steal the things that you're affectionate about? Sure he can. A man can steal another man's wife. It's happened many times. A man can steal, break in your home and steal your most prized possessions. It happens. In this city, it happens. A man can take your car. A man can steal your job. A man can sue you and steal your inheritance. He said not to put your treasure in things that a moth can come and corrupt. Or rust could enter in on and break down and corrode. He said, but to put your treasure in heaven. Put it in heaven, in God's hands. They said in this minister's session that I was in, I just cannot remember that brother's name. I'm just ashamed of myself. From Ohio. Brother Moore. Thank you. Brother Moore, he said, he made this statement. He said, and I really liked it. I want to share it with you. He said, grace is something given when you don't deserve it. Grace is something given when you don't deserve it. And he said, mercy is when something's withheld even though you did deserve it. Grace is something that is given when you don't deserve it. And mercy is when something's withheld, even though you did deserve it. I like that. I like the way he put that. It's by the Lord's grace that I'm here. I don't deserve it. David said his mercies are new every day. I'm begging the Lord for mercy. I'm begging Him. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. Give me grace. Give me wisdom. Even though I don't deserve it, please, Lord. Give me the wisdom, like Solomon prayed, to know how to go in and out among your people. We are so blessed. to have this, to be a part of this. It's just a wonderful thing. People asked about you. People will say, well, how's Brother so-and-so, or how's Sister so-and-so? They have such a love. There's people across the body have such a love for this church. I cannot tell you how many people asked me, or told me, I should say, I cannot wait till the Little Rock Youth meeting. I'm coming, Brother Painter. We're coming to your meeting. I don't know how many people told us that. They're so excited to be a part of the body of Christ. Now, you know what? They're sitting in their congregations tonight. Or maybe, you know, if they had Tuesday night or Friday night. The Springville, Alabama Assembly, they have what? Friday night service? They have a Monday night and a Friday night. That's all the sign. Relics from the past. Sorry. They have a Friday night service. You know what? When they enter that Friday night service, they're not going to have 350 people. They're going to be whatever their congregation is. And it's going to feel like, oh, where'd everybody go? You know what I mean? And we feel that way. We come in here and sometimes it's like, where'd everybody go? It feels that way, don't it? Sometimes it feels that way. But know this. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. He's just a touch away. Are you looking for Him? Are you looking for that feeling? Are you looking for that experience, that confirmation, that confidence, that conviction? Are you looking for the Lord to touch you in a way that it'll change your life, change your direction, to give you vision, open your eyes, to where you're not wandering around like somebody who's blind? Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus saw a man that was blind, and he reached down, the Bible says. And of course, the man, if he was blind, he didn't know what he did, but he reached down and he spit in the dirt. And he took that spittle and he wiped that mud across that man's eyes. And Jesus asked him, he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as men. And did it again. He said, now what do you see? He said, I see men as trees. He said, now what do you see? He said, I see men as men. You know, one of the hardest things that we'll come to recognize is ourselves. It's tough. I know I do. I have these moments where I'm like, oh my, where did you come from? Looking in the mirror. Sometimes I still feel like a young person. Until I get to run with these guys. And then I'm the first one to go sleep. Game over. But you know, old or young, we all have a responsibility to trust the Lord. There's a scripture in the 16th chapter of Exodus I want to share with you. And we'll go to prayer here tonight. How would you have liked to have been, Brother Daniels? I hope I don't step on your toes when I say this. Okay. I appreciate Brother Daniels. He's my elder. I love him. He's a good man. But Brother Daniels, I'm just a little bit younger than you. Right? Well, how would you feel if God put you and I on a journey tomorrow where we didn't even carry a checkbook? God sent us on a pathway. We didn't have a grocery bag. We didn't have a sack of clothes. God just put us on a pathway. We'd have to pray, wouldn't we? Yeah. You heard that, didn't you? He hit that right away. Well, then we'd have to walk. Might have to walk. Brother Daniels may say, Brother Painter, I'm getting a little tired here. Can you slow down? I may say it after a while. Brother Daniels, I think we need to take a break. All right, he's already ready, thinking about it. Well, how would you like to have been the children of Israel? They had grandma, grandpa, great-grandpa, great-grandma. They had mom, they had dad, they had the little baby. And God put them all on the same journey at the same time. They all had to learn to trust God, didn't they? Please understand, we're no different. This congregation here in this city is no different. We're all going on this journey together. In spite of our differences, we're all going together. Exodus 16, he said, let's see. 16:1, it said, they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Oh, what have they done? The children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. See, they hadn't forsaken the Lord. They still loved Him. They just were sick of their circumstance. Wish we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They went through a test, and it wasn't an isolated test. It wasn't, you know, Brother Smith's going, he's had some health problems. I think he said he's had more health problems this year than he's ever had, than he could remember. Something to that effect. We're praying for Brother Smith and Sister Smith and their circumstance, and we miss them. We need their leadership. We need God to give them many good years. But we're not exactly suffering with that like he is. So as an assembly, we're not suffering with the health problems that he's suffering with. We're suffering with him, but not in the same environment, not in the same vein. The children of Israel, they were all hungry. Are you getting that? They were all hungry as an assembly. He said to them, then said the Lord unto Moses in the fourth verse, he said, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Every day. As an assembly, they went out and gathered their bread. He said, that I may prove them. And this is a part of the verse that really jumped off the pages to me. That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. God used something as simple as gathering daily bread as the beginning of their faith. Brother Daniels, the beginning of their faith was whether or not they ate tomorrow. The beginning of their faith, the reconstruction of their faith, was whether or not they ate the next day. So they're sitting there, and they're eating, and everything's good, and they've got flesh pots or whatever that they're feeding from, manna and quail. And then they look over and it's gone. Now they've got to get up and pray. Now they've got to trust the Lord for what? Tomorrow. They were hungry. They had to get water out of a rock. There was no guarantees. There was no assurances. Everything that they had got stripped away from them. Everything that they needed suddenly became a day-to-day trust of the Lord. The same as it will be for you and I. There's something in that. Jesus did exactly the same thing with his disciples. When he sent them out, he took it all away from them. Now, I'm not advocating, I'm not asking the Lord to take it all away from us. But Jesus did say, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. We've had some wonderful services here lately. We're hungering. There's a hunger in our hearts, Sister Watson. We're coming together in unity. We have a purpose in mind. I'm thankful to be a part of it. I just want to go. Like Sister Durham said, when it came time to go on the meeting, I just want to go. I can't go to all of them. I wish I could. I wish I had the time and the money. You know, I might not appreciate it if I did. There's been times I could. There's been times I traveled a lot. Then I got married and had kids and you know how that goes. Used to laugh at guys like me. So, well, look at them. They got married and had kids. Now they can't go nowhere. Ha, ha, ha. Look in the mirror and laugh at myself. It happens. It happens. We're working together, aren't we? Praise God. We've come together in the name of the Lord, and what a blessing it is. We should pray tonight. The rain's coming down. And, you know, it's that time of year. Tornadoes and hail and all that stuff comes along, and I don't diminish any of it. I'm thankful that we have a basement here if we need to. We should pray for the safety of everyone, as well as Brother Smith. He's had 3 teeth removed, I think. That's right. And covets our prayers. Let's remember the Lacey family. Wilson family, thank you. And then Brother and Sister Crafton. I was thinking of Joe. And anyway, let's remember Brother and Sister Wilson and their needs. Brother and Sister Crafton. And does anybody have a report? He is home from hospice. Okay. Is he coherent? Wasn't able to talk. Is still the same problem, filling up with fluids. All right. Well, you all heard Sister Crafton's testimony the other night. Let's remember her in prayer and the sorrow that they're experiencing right now. There's a little girl down. Where's that little girl at, Gladys? Is she in Georgia? There's a little girl that's the granddaughter of Brother Tally from an assembly in Georgia. She's 2 years old. Huh? I'll get my story right. Anyway, this little girl came down with a fever and they went into a coma, and now she's in bad shape. Just a sad situation for the Tally, Brother Tally and his family. Different Brother Tally. You know who you're talking about. And anyway, let's remember them and their need. You know her name, perchance? Okay. Let's remember this. Brother Paul David's neighbor. Yeah. Okay. Very good. And we will. Let's remember her, and then also let's remember Brother Chad Neptune. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with that story, but was Andrew with him when that happened? Okay. He fell 40 feet. He was out skiing. Went over the side of a hill or down a hill or something, about 40 feet. And Buddy didn't have any internal injuries, and they thought he shattered his kneecap, but apparently it's only a fracture. So 4 weeks in a cast and no surgery. So let's remember him. It's good. I'm glad Brother Brett Weiniger is with us tonight. Doing a lot better, I hope. I think so. And on the way, his road to recovery. God's good, you know, in spite of all the, you know, the things that happen to us. There's good, there's bad. Life's full of it. You know, what did Job say? Life is a few days and full of sorrow. We understand that. There's a woman that lived just, you know, the oldest woman in the world lives right here in Arkansas. See, you got hope. 116 years old, lives down here in Camden, Arkansas. So there's hope, you know. I tell Gladys and I went to a wedding anniversary, 60th wedding anniversary. I said, you better get in for the long haul because I'm going to live a long time. I hope, by the help and grace of God. Yes, Sister Fisher. They do need prayer. Sister Donna and Sister Abraham both, remember them in prayer. Sister Gladys. Sister Linda Denman in Tyler, Texas, is facing a similar surgery, except it won't be reversible. She's going to have a colostomy. She has an internal colostomy, but it's circumstances change. She's going to have one on the outside. It's very serious. Pray for her. Pray for her husband, Willie, Gladys' dad, and then pray for Gladys, too. She's carrying that burden. Sister Cindy's mom as well. Just remember her. Somebody else, Sister Jamie. Okay. Sister Rita Thompson having eye surgery. The Lord knows about that. Just remember her. Okay. Sir? Okay. Okay. Remember your son Jacob and Sister Hodges and her son Cato. All need prayer. All right. We'll be dismissed here after we pray. I want to mention to you that we have a family night coming up Saturday the 11th, I think. I think that's right. Week from Saturday. I think we're going to start about 6 o'clock here at the church. Then we have a singing that's coming up the 26th, I think, is a Sunday afternoon. It's an evening service. Brother Smith wanted to do that a little different. So if you haven't been thinking about your songs, please do so. And if you... We need to have a practice here to kind of get that in our minds. There's a minister's meeting, I think, in 2 weeks, I think, in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm not going to be able to go, but in case any of you brethren were planning to go. And then, of course, campground's coming up in June, if you have that on your mind. Better get your hotel reservations in, because that's a hard place to get hotel reservations. Any other announcements? Okay. Okay. Three and under what? Okay, so family and I will be chicken spaghetti and $5 plate. If you're younger than Neth, then it'll be $3 plate. Neth, yours is going to be $5, so you're going to have to pay a little extra. Better break out your piggy bank. 11 and younger is $3. If you're 3 and younger, it doesn't include you, Nat, then it's free. Brother Daniels, I'm sorry. It's going to be $5 for you. And if you want a soda, it'll be an extra dollar. And if you want ice cream, it's another extra dollar. So, okay. It's for the youth fundraiser. So that's going to be family night. And we'll be sure to be thinking about your games, dominoes, chicken feet. I don't know if Brother Smith wants to play chicken feet, as much trouble as he's had with chicken feet. That may be unlucky for him. I'm not sure. We'll find out. And, of course, the gym will be open. We'll have fun with that. We need to be conscious about having a work day here. I know it'll get away from us if we're not careful. Sometime in May, and then that's right. Thank you, Sister McGowan. This Sunday is Easter Sunday. So let's come out Sunday, and maybe the Lord will send us a good crowd and visitors perhaps, and be here to worship the Lord, be led by the Lord, to feel the Lord, to feel after the Lord, to trust and feel that touch from the Lord. Praise God. All right. Any other announcements? No? Let's stand and take these knees to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Praise your name, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Oh God, there's nothing hid from you. Oh God, how great you are. Supply all of our needs. It's your promise, Lord, to supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Jesus, reach down your loving hand and touch those that are sick tonight. Those that are in their homes. Those that need a touch in their body. Brother and Sister Smith. Brother and Sister Crow. Sister Donna. Sister Abraham. Dear Lord Jesus. Oh God. Watch over them. Help the Wilson family.